You know, maybe the Depression was why Americans were so fascinated with bank robber John Dillinger. Have you noticed this movie, Public Enemies, comes out this week? Johnny Depp, who's macho all by himself, is playing an even more macho character. John Dillinger, the fugitive who was gunned down by G-men at the Biograph Theater in Chicago in the 1930s. On the line with us, Jeff Scaff, a great nephew of John Dillinger, joining us from Mooresville, Indiana. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, John. How are you?
Now, let's not endorse crime here together on this, advance of the holiday weekend, but what is it about America's love affair with bank robbers?
Well, I've always believed that America likes their heroes with a rough edge around them. For whatever reason, it seems to be something in our social makeup. Our founding fathers were really... not to insult them by any means, but they really were terrorists in the minds of the British. And we've always had that rough edge. And Americans seem to like people that will stand up and face what they believe to be injustice and answer it in somewhat of a vigilante way. Yeah. And I think that's something that seems to be uniquely American.
Well, Jeff Scaff, here's J. Edgar Hoover, played by Billy Crudup, from the film Public Enemies, in the voice of the American government standing up to John Dillinger. Listen.
Agent Melvin Purvis will be in charge of the field office in Chicago, the center of the crime wave sweeping America. His task would be to get Public Enemy number one, John Dillinger.
So Jeff, as great nephew of John Dillinger, to hear him say Public Enemy number one, does that give you a twinge of pride in any sense, even in this sort of rough-edged, complex, ambiguous way?
Well, not me personally. Yeah, I always my grandmother, who was John's sister, always said, "Do not romanticize him. Do not villainize him. He wasn't mean-spirited. He wasn't vicious. He was not a killer." He never intended to hurt anyone. To her, he was a big brother, and she always said that her father, who was a deacon in a Christian church, always tried to get John to give up and to leave the country. But no, it doesn't give me a sense of pride.
Would have been some good advice if he'd actually taken it. Joining us now is Elliot Gorn, who's a professor of history at Brown University. His book is called Dillinger's Wild Ride, The Year That Made America's Public Enemy Number One. Professor Gorn, good morning to you, first of all.
Good morning.
And have you seen this movie?
Yes, I did.
What do you think of it?
Well, I liked it. I'm not sure what I think of it as history. Films are a tough way to get history. It's a good film. It's a very exciting film. It's nothing but action. Whether it really gets at John Dillinger, I'm not so sure.
Well, what are the pieces of the legend of John Dillinger as people understood it, maybe back in the period of the Depression? And quite literally, the fact that he was robbing banks meant he was robbing the very people that were foreclosing on homes all over the United States in the 1930s.
Well, I think that's exactly right, and I think that's one of the reasons for many, many people he was a heroic figure. I think a lot of people were genuinely ambivalent. This is the depth of the Great Depression, 1933, 1934, the deepest moments in the Great Depression. When Dillinger first starts gaining public attention, literally thousands of banks had just closed their doors, had destroyed family savings, retirement businesses, and so on. People didn't like social disorder. They didn't like crime. They were not happy that innocent people were sometimes being taken hostage and dying. And yet, at the same time, there's a sense, at least here's a man who's doing something, taking matters into his own hand. There is, as Jeffrey said, there's a kind of rough edge about him, but a kind of heroism in his being a renegade, a rebel.
And, he was a mysterious figure to most Americans, and you get that sense in this scene from the movie.
I don't know anything about you.
I was raised on a farm in Mooresville, Indiana. My mama died when I was three. My daddy beat the hell out of me because he didn't know no better way to raise me. I like baseball, movies, good clothes, fast cars, whiskey, and you. What else you need to know?
Jeff Skaff, does that ring true? You're there in Mooresville, and I imagine you might have seen that farm.
Well, I actually live in the Dillinger farmhouse. That particular quote I can tell you is one that my grandmother would take exception to. John Sr. Was a very successful immigrant. He unlike so many of the period, for lack of a better phrase, crime families, was somewhat successful. He was upper middle class. He was a grocer. He owned three homes. He had done quite well for himself and then had decided that since they were from the French Rhineland, he wanted to return to his first love, which was farming, and he married Elizabeth Fields. And the name is actually pronounced Dillinger.
I see. She would take objection to the fact that he was raised in a tough, abusive environment.
Yes,
yeah,
John Sr. was the type of man that really felt that an individual was responsible for their own actions.
Right.
He encouraged John during the time that John committed his first crime to stand up and take his punishment.
Well, he eventually did pay dearly for all of those crimes. Jeff Skaff, we want to continue this conversation on our website, where the discussion really is going to be about whether John Dillinger embodies a notion of macho in the United States that is dying. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us. Elliot Gorn, you want to take that question before we leave? Is John Dillinger an element of macho?
Oh, God. Let me just turn the question around just
quickly.
A little bit. The film is about gangsters. John Dillinger was about outlaws. He's about the countryside, the heartland. I think that's a big distinction. It's much more Indiana in some ways, the story, as people understand it, than it is Chicago.
All right. Well, Elliot Gorn, professor of history at Brown University, Jeff Skaff, great-nephew of John Dillinger. We're talking about the film that opens this weekend, Public Enemies, with Johnny Depp.